We're going to do something a little different this morning. We're going to have two prayers instead of one. And I've asked Tom and Patrick, whatever's on their heart, we'll go in that order. And I can see the clock in the foyer. That'll be our authority rather than mine. But all right, let's begin. And I thought a lot in general, wildfires, tornadoes. Some in our country are really hurting. What about then more in Sanford and Lee County? Tom, you want to begin, have a prayer, whatever's on your heart.
Heavenly Father, we come before you now offering our thanks for the opportunity we have to gather here and study and learn more of your word. And Father, we pray for those who are hindered from being with us, that it would be your will that that hindrance might be removed and they might assemble with us in the future. And we pray, Father, for those of our number who are suffering from chronic illnesses, that if it be your will, that that they regain their normal health and can much more be about their normal life. We pray for our nation that is facing the weather adversities and other problems with the economy, and that our leaders might seek your guidance in making decisions that will bring peace and stability and a good life back to our country. And we thank you, Father, for your Son who came into the world and suffered and died on the cross that we might have the hope of eternal life. Go with us through the rest of this hour and forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Tom. Patrick, you want to also have a prayer, please?
Father, we're thankful for this morning that we have to assemble here to study your word and to worship you. We thank you, Father, for the past year with all of its blessings and all of its trials. We pray, Father, that we've all grown as Christians in various ways through those trials by leaning on you and depending on you. We thank you, Father, for being faithful and always helping us through our struggles. We know that you'll be with us in this new year. Father, as the world is thinking about new beginnings, help us to always have in mind that not only every year, but every month and day, hour, we have an opportunity for new beginnings because of the mercy and the grace that you show upon us every day. Help us to take advantage of that gift, that we might always be renewed, that we might be our best for you when we fall short every day. Father, we ask that you be with Harry now as he leads us in this class and help us to be mentally engaged, that we might learn. And we pray that you be with all the teachers this morning. And it's in your Son's name we pray.
Let me first of all express several thanks. First of all, I thank you for coming. I didn't know how many we'd have. I realized some are downstairs. That's fine. But thank you for coming. And I mentioned before, you couldn't flunk my class. If you just come, I'll give you an A. But if you will come and participate, I might give you an A+. Thanks for the opportunity. Doug's supposed to be in the Athens of the South, Nashville, Tennessee. So I hope they had a safe trip, and I want to share some thoughts with you today. Thanks for that. Also, it's hard to realize this is a new year. And I'll just quickly mention in passing, I'm glad the University of Kentucky won in one of the bowl games yesterday. Enough said. I have a warm spot still in my heart for Kentucky. But thanks for all of the gifts over the holidays. All of your expressions of love. I want to thank you for that. And of course, I'm grateful for Doug. Somehow, I never emphasize Bible geography. I really appreciate his use of the map. And maybe where the prophet lived. And then also, my personal reaction was, he puts in a lot of time on those lessons. And I appreciate that. So, what we want to do this morning is just look at that part of God's Word again. First of all, let me ask, can you hear me okay? Okay. Generally, everyone says they have no difficulty hearing me. If they do, I really get upset. So, here's what I want us to do this morning. We'll be looking at the overall picture again. We'll look at the time period. I'm going to give you some thoughts that maybe will help you. Where are the prophets? Which period are they in? The Assyrian period? The Babylonian period? Or the Persian period? Now, it finally dawned on me, all of those empires are history, aren't they? So the Assyrian, Babylonian, or Persian empires today? No. But it might help you to put the prophet in that period. We're going to look this morning at, in each book, some great verses. That is what I think are great verses. Whatever you remember about the book, that's fine. But remember something about each book. And I have it in my notes, and we probably won't get to it. And I'll apologize for that. The comments of others. It helps me a great deal to listen to others. Sometimes my reaction is, that's a good way to say it. Or, I had never thought of that before. So, I like comments flowing. Maybe we'll do that this morning, maybe not. So that's going to be our emphasis this morning. What part of the Old Testament are we studying at the present time?
Minor prophets.
Okay, the minor prophets. Does that mean they're not important? You forget about them? Let me just share with you, and it causes you to think. The major prophets, the minor prophets, just a matter of the length of their book. Give you an example. It would take one scroll for the prophet Isaiah. One scroll. Because it's rather long, isn't it? You can put what we're studying on Sunday morning on one scroll. How many of minor prophets are there?
12.
Okay, 12. You can put all 12 on one scroll. Think of it. Scroll, just Isaiah. Scroll, all the minor prophets. Isaiah just happens to be longer. The ones we're studying generally are much shorter. but they are important, so. I think I've shared in VBS, in the past, if you asked me, I would say, oh, I'm trying to be a New Testament Christian. I sort of changed that. First of all, let me say, you know and I know, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to be a Bible-believing Christian. Now, first of all, that identifies me with Christ, doesn't it? I'm following Jesus Christ. I'm a New Testament Christian. But I believe the Old Testament's from God as well as the New Testament. This is the Holy Bible, the Holy Word of God. So, first of all, let me quickly share with you two verses that would immediately emphasize, even if you are a Christian, you need to know the Old Testament. And we moved here from South Florida. There were 250,000 Jews. Now, our political parties, oh, there's a major block of votes. But I wonder, how would we reach that block in our country? They know the Old Testament, if we don't know the Old Testament. So let's turn to Romans 15 and verse 4. Book of Romans, chapter 15 and verse 4. Someone like to read that verse? Again, I would encourage you on your own, just read the context of that verse. But written for our learning, we're going to find patience or perseverance and comfort in the Old Testament that can really strengthen our hope, our desire to go to heaven. Our expectation to go to heaven. So, Paul really knew the Old Testament as well as he was Saul the persecuted and becomes Paul the persecuted. So, in verse 3 there is a reference to the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. I can still remember Jody emphasizing when he taught the class, how were these thoughts written for our learning? What can we learn from them? And he was talking about what we were studying in the Old Testament. So that's one verse. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. And again, I would encourage you to read, study the entire context. I'm in chapter 13. That's not going to help, is it? But in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, the context is about Old Testament events. And someone like to read 1 Corinthians 10 and 11.
Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come.
Okay, so think of those two verses, Romans 15, 4, 1 Corinthians 10, 11. We need to study and know the Old Testament. So I would thank the men for thinking in our class setting we need to emphasize this section of Scripture, the minor prophets. I thought of another verse, and it's a very familiar one, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And again, I'm using the New King James Version. Let me read this familiar verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to who? God. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? A worker who does not need to be what?
Ashamed.
Okay. We've almost forgotten how to blush, haven't we? But you don't want to have to blush over your relationship with God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if the minor prophets were written for our learning, the minor prophets were written for our admonition, how would we apply this verse to these 12 books of the Old Testament? How would Paul want Timothy to rightly divide this section of the Old Testament? So, we need to know the whole Bible, even if the old is not our authority. Now, think about that. We need to know the book. What I want to do this morning is, first of all, I generally look at the first verse. Does the prophet mention any of the kings? You're studying the kings on Wednesday night, right? And then I also try to remember something about the book. So let's, in our time remaining, let's quickly look if the prophet mentions any of the kings, Judah or Israel, and then the verse I would suggest. Let's take the books as we would encounter them from Hosea to Malachi. And I'll confess, I still have to sometimes rely on the psalm to say them in the right order. Are there any kings mentioned in Hosea 1:1? Rather long verse, isn't it? The word of the Lord that came to Hosea. And then some of the names I'm going to just bypass. But he says, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, were they good or bad? According to Scripture. And in the days of Jeroboam, this would be the one we call Jeroboam the second, not Jeroboam the first, king of Israel. So we have some kings mentioned. Now, I generally try to remember in chapter 6 and verse 6, this is the New King James, for I desire what?
Mercy.
Mercy. Now, I do not subscribe the Old Testament is a God of wrath. And the New Testament didn't say God of love. Now, I find both wrath and love in the Old Testament and wrath and love in the New Testament. So you might want to think about that. A lot of people believe that's the difference. A one between the old and the new. So, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Now, Jesus knew the Old Testament. And we're not going to turn in class and read it, but in Matthew 9, Jesus used what we know as Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. A lot of times he would react to the situation or what was being said. And so he took Hosea 6, 6 and said, you need to look at this verse again. Think about what it really means. What my father really wants. Okay, let's turn now to the book of Joel. Hosea, incidentally, for the minor prophets, is one of the longer ones. What about Joel? Chapter 1, verse 1. Any kings mentioned? The word of the Lord that came to Joel. I do remember Joel as a locust plague. And then, is Joel used anywhere in the New Testament? I do remember Peter on Pentecost in Acts 2. You know, some in the audience said, oh, they're just a bunch of drunks speaking to us. That's the explanation for what we're seeing and observing. First of all, Peter said, it's only the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. It's too early for us to be drunk. That was then. That's changed in our day and age, hasn't it? But then, secondly, he says, the words of Joel, the prophet, are being fulfilled. And so I remember Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32, what's said about the Spirit. And then Peter says, this is being fulfilled for your very eyes in Acts 2. So I find that extremely interesting. Let's go now to the book of Amos. Any kings mentioned? The words of Amos. It's going to be the words of the Lord, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Doesn't mean anything to us, probably today, but it did to them. 2 years before the earthquake. You might want to check it. Zechariah, in his book, is going to refer to this earthquake. So undoubtedly it was something in the history of the Jews they never forgot. Like I hope we'll never forget what happened in Mayfield, Kentucky. I just remember chapter 4, verse 12 of Amos. Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. I can remember the Burma Shave advertisements on the highway for the interstate system. And one they used was this verse, prepare to meet God. Now, we live in Chatham County, Pittsburgh. At first, we were newcomers on the block. That's no longer true. It's amazing how many have passed on, or they couldn't stay any longer by themselves, and so they had to go somewhere else. And my thought is, that's tragic. But were they ready to meet God? Am I ready to meet God? So that I remember that verse. All right, let's go now to Obadiah. Any kings mentioned? The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning what country or nation?
Edom.
We really don't know for sure when Obadiah lived, whether he was one of the early prophets or the late prophets. What difference does it make, though? Remember, there was Jacob and Esau, the Israelites and Judah. They're descendants of Jacob. The Edomites are descendants of Esau. So, Prophet Obadiah had a message for the descendants of Esau. I like how the book ends, verse 21. Then saviors or deliverers shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Give you several things to think about. Was Mount Zion in Scripture another name for an area where some of God's people lived? What's said about the descendants of Esau in Old and New? Where did they live? Why might they be haughty and arrogant? And then, if you were a Jew, what would it mean about the kingdom? I know how we use it interchangeably with the church. But could it have meant to the Jew, and it should it mean to us, the rule of God, the reign of God? It's the church of Christ. That mean Christ is to rule? Christ is to reign? He's to be number one, predominant? So, think about that. Let's go now to the book of Jonah. I'm going to assume you're very familiar with it. There it is again. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah. What did the Lord want Jonah to do?
Go to Nineveh.
He wanted him to go to Nineveh. That'd be the Assyrian Empire, wouldn't it? Did Jonah want to go?
No.
He went in the opposite direction, didn't he? So, in verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh. Chapter 3, again. Verse 3, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Now the first time he was asked, go to Nineveh, but he was going where?
Tarshish.
If you look at your map and do some research, that was probably Spain, the opposite direction. But then the second time he says, arise, go to Nineveh. Does Jonah?
Yes.
Is he successful?
Yes.
I would say he was. I picked chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. God, I don't like how the Assyrians and Nineveh have responded to my message. And he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Now, from the king on down, they repented, didn't they? Think of that. The Assyrians, who were known as a very mean and cruel people, changed their thinking. And if you listen carefully to Doug, we're going to note in a moment that there will be another book that deals with Nineveh. Generally considered maybe roughly 100 years later. But think of it, in the time of Jonah, when he went to the city and said, 40 days, this is going to happen, they listened. So, I would probably have deleted chapter 4, but that's God's word. I would call Jonah the reluctant missionary. The reluctant prophet. God, I knew this could happen. I didn't want it to happen. You should know that. But I have reluctantly done what you wanted me to. So, think about Jonah. It's more than just the fish story, isn't there? Even though that's important. All right, in Micah chapter 1, verse 1, again, we have some kings mentioned. Days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Samaria, the northern kingdom. Jerusalem, the southern kingdom. Northern kingdom with 10 tribes. Southern kingdom, emphasis on Judah, but remember it includes Benjamin. And also those from the north that lived in the south. Again, this is a sidetrack. These are descendants of Jacob fighting one another. What do we have in our history? Had a war between the states, or civil war, didn't we? We're not going into on which side we should be on. I've had ancestors on both sides. My point is, has human nature really changed? So, now I remember two verses when we come to Micah. Micah 5:2, where was Jesus to be born? That is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God. Bethlehem. Was that where Jesus was born? The Old Testament said Bethlehem. When the wise men came to Jerusalem, where did the scribes go in answer to the question? Where is he going to be born? They went to Micah. They knew Micah 5:2, didn't they? So. And then, of course, I remembered chapter 6, verse 8, which we... And I thought Doug did one of the best jobs I've ever heard. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly? We're really emphasizing in our country now justice, aren't we? But I wonder what about the rest of the verse? To love mercy. My New King James has our loving kindness. I'm going to change it. Love kindness. And to walk humbly with your God. Now I'm for justice. but I'm also for kindness and keeping God in the picture. So I try to remember those two things. Now last week we studied Nahum. No kings. The bird, no oracle against what city?
Nineveh.
The Assyrians. The book of the vision of Nahum. We don't know that much about him, do we? But it was a very graphic book, wasn't it? As we read it last week. So think about Jonah and Nahum. Now let's go to the book Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, however you want to pronounce it. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. Now, he's going to see some things about the Chaldeans. That's another name for what group of people? Babylonians. Remember the Assyrian period? Babylonian period? Persian period? Yes.
Sorry, I want to go back. Did you mention the verse in Nahum that you wanted to remember? You said 1:1, but I didn't get it.
Jonah and Nahum would be Nineveh or the Assyrians.
The verse you wanted to remember out of Nahum?
Roughly 100 years between them.
Okay.
Jonah was very successful. By the time of Nahum, in 612, they're going to be conquered by the Babylonians. And now if you want to study about the Assyrians, it would be history. And I don't know why, but I remember one night, one angel took care of 185,000 Assyrian troops. One angel. One night. Basically, he took care of the Assyrian army at that time. So, you might want to check that out. Look at 1:6. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans. What kind of nation are they going to be?
Bitter and hasty.
A bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Now, again, I'm going to deviate two passages I remember in Habakkuk. Look at 2:20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep what before him?
Silence.
And incidentally, we had that song last week, didn't we? Based on Habakkuk 2:20. The Old Testament's really going to put great emphasis on wait on the Lord. Keep silence before the Lord. Because of the church today need to wait on the Lord sometimes. Do we need to keep silence before the Lord? And I like how the book closes. Chapter 3 is a prayer of the prophet. Now remember, this is an agriculture society. I don't know whether we realize it or not. We're gradually becoming more an urban society, aren't we? Even though I would say outside the major cities in North Carolina, we're still rural. But the day's coming in our country. In some parts, it's already there. We're urban. But now, this is an agricultural city. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vine, though the labor of the olive may fall, and the fields yield no food. I've heard we could feed the world We're not doing it till our way. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. I still haven't done it, but we need to modernize that. Now remember, for that's his day and age. All of this was in an agricultural setting. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I don't care if all this happens. I'm still going to look to God and commit myself to walking humbly with Him. Well, I have some thoughts in my note I want to emphasize now. So, you can do the same for Zephaniah, or the kings mentioned. What would you try to remember about the book? Haggai and Zechariah. They lived in the Persian period. You can turn to Ezra 5 and 2, and they are mentioned in the rebuilding of the temple. And then Malachi, generally considered the last prophet, which will be the Persian period, time of Ezra and Nehemiah. But let me close with three verses of Scripture. I think I can. Let's turn to John 3:16. Remember, this is a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. We generally refer to it about the new birth, which we should. But we often refer to this verse as the golden text of the Bible. Someone want to quote it? John 3:16. Okay, for God so loved the world. Wonder, would that include Sanford, Lee County? That He gave His only begotten Son, or His Son is one of a kind. He's unique. That whosoever believes in Him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Does God want you to be saved? Now, clock in the foyer says 10:15, so I'll just give you two other verses. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God wants all men to be saved, doesn't He? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He doesn't want anyone to perish, does He? But come to repentance. That's good news, isn't it? God wants you to be saved. He was willing to send His Son so you could be saved. Now, what do you want? It's your choice, your decision. That's good news. So I wanted to emphasize that, which I didn't in VBS, but I thought I have it in my notes. We will. So that's how we're going to close. We'll look forward to Doug being with you next week. Again, thanks for coming so much.